Over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
The fun of playing spoiler gets spoiled in the final 20 minutes of the Blackhawks road trip. The Islanders come back with two goals in the third period, and they take this one a 2-1 final, keeping their playoff hopes alive and moving within 1 point of the Washington Capitals after Washington's loss earlier tonight. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 10 o'clock tonight here on 720 WGN. But before that, let's head on over to the UBS Arena, bringing our pal Troy Murray. He's on the call with John Weidemann tonight. Troy, we knew that the Islanders were going to come out with a strong push in that third period, but they caught a couple of breaks along the way. If you're the Hawks, you can't commit those types of penalties. And man, we got to talk with one of the stadium ops people over there for fixing those boards, making sure they're a little bit more flush. What a lucky bounce for the Islanders.
Joe, I'm looking down here in the corner right now, and the people from the arena are down there in the corner where this puck hit this little partition that was sticking out there. They're trying to figure out where exactly that happened. That was a terrible break. Puck should have been, you know, coming around to Peter Mrazek, who was behind the net. Now everybody kind of gets messed up there in their coverage. And just like that, bang, bang, the Islanders able to score the even strength goal that made the difference in this game. And it's funny, like, seriously, I'm sitting here down right now, and there's two guys from the ice crew working down, looking down at the boards there to see exactly where that puck is, because that's something that should never happen in an NHL building. But sometimes that's just the way it works. The Islanders get a lucky break on that one. But you mentioned the Kurashev penalty 10 seconds into the third period. That's not what you wanted to do. You were kind of going along at a pretty good clip, and you know, you seem like you're in pretty good position, but all of a sudden, a power play that has not been clicking along very good all of a sudden gets that opportunity, and they score right away. And then all of a sudden, there's some momentum in the Islanders' side of things, the bad bounce, the bad break, and that's the difference in the game. But give credit to the Islanders. They were the better team through 60 minutes. If it wasn't for the play of Peter Mrazek, especially through the first two periods, this game would be a different story.
Yeah, I was going to say it seems like the Islanders really didn't change too much of their game. I mean, obviously things help when you get on the power play, but I'm sure they probably had a lot of confidence heading into that third, knowing if they stick to their game plan, those chances are eventually going to fall in.
We were talking about it, that, you know what, are they going to leave it to chance where there's going to be it's going to be a game where the goaltender steals one? Could have easily been that way for the Hawks, the way that Mrazek was playing through two periods. But yeah, you're right, Joe. I think that the Islanders just kind of stuck with what had been working through two periods, even though they weren't able to score a goal. And just they kept with it, and they battled hard, and they took advantage of a couple opportunities that they had in the third period. They only had five shots, which was by far their lowest total in the game. They had 12 in the first, 12 in the second, 5 in the third, and just the way it works sometimes, they scored 2 on the 5 shots.
Well, lastly, Troy, I mean, this road trip comes to an end. We've got 7 games left on the regular season, and, I mean, this Hawks team is still playing some of their better hockey as of late. Anything mainly to take away from the road trip to move forward with this upcoming 2-game homestand right around the corner?
Well, you got some tough games coming up. Minnesota, I think, is basically out of it. Dallas is one of the better teams in the Western Conference. So you've got some challenges moving forward on this Central Division weekend that you've got coming up. And then you play in St. Louis. And St. Louis, that's probably going to be a real big game for St. Louis, as they're right there in the playoff picture in the West. So we'll see what happens. Blackhawks take, you know, some inconsistent play and some good play. They were really good in Philadelphia. But, you know, it's funny, when you and I talked, Joe, after the games, I said, you kind of got to look at it from the other perspective. Luke Richard talked about how solid of a game the Blackhawks played in Philadelphia. When you listen to John Tortorella, they were awful. We were awful. We're going to move forward. And, you know, so
just embarrassing.
It's kind of one of those things where, you know, he felt his team was really lacking in execution and effort, where Luke was talking about, boy, we did an excellent job of shutting it down. So you kind of got to look at both ways. Ottawa gets off to a 2-0 start, and then you say, okay, well, we worked our way back into it. Mrazek was excellent in that game as well, down 2-0, but didn't get it any further out of hand. You were able to battle back in there, but you're also playing the score if you're the Ottawa Senators.
Right.
And, you know, so there's all kinds of factors coming into how you look at a game. This is a game where the Blackhawks were lucky to be up 1-0. Mrazek was excellent in the first two periods. Frustrating, I'm sure, for the Islanders in a game that they basically had to win. And they got a couple breaks. They took advantage of the power play, the first power play of the game early on in the third period, and then took advantage of the lucky bounce behind the net.
All right, pal. Up and down road trip, but hey, looking forward to Saturday. Getting to work with you once again.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's right.
John's moving over to the TV side for that animated game. Our little buddy is going to be riding shotgun with John on Saturday, and then I think that John and I'll be doing Sunday, and I think Stu Grimson is coming in to do the game Sunday afternoon against the Wild.
Oh, wow. Okay. And no.
You and I on Saturday.
We'll have an animated game of our own, just figuratively speaking. We'll you and I will be very animated.
Well, Panger kind of looks like he's a little toy anyway, so.
I am not touching that. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. All right, pal.
He looks like an animated character, put it that way.
Is he there right now?
No. I'll let him know.
Okay. Right. He could always listen to the podcast, too, to catch up what he missed out on.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, pal. Great stuff. We'll see you in a couple of days. And, yeah, can't wait to work on Saturday.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I'm actually going to spend a couple of days in St. Louis between now and then. The NHL alumni meetings are Thursday and Friday in St. Louis, so I'm going to head down to St. Louis. I won't be back until Saturday morning before the game. So
see if they can do something about smooth boards throughout the NHL consistently in all arenas.
It was funny. We just started to talk about it, and I looked down on the ice, and there's two guys from the building who are out there examining exactly where this puck hit in the far right corner to Peter Mrazek's net. And, you know, that's just... In buildings across the NHL, that should not happen. But it does, and, you know, bad breaks.
One in a million chance, and it burns the Hawks, but what can you do?
That little bounce could have put the Islanders into the postseason.
Ooh, stay tuned for that. That's a great tease.
And if they do, I'm not going to do anything. But
they'll probably take the boards and frame them and put them on the concourse so fans can go and rub them for good luck.
Yeah, you never know.
All right, pal. Safe travels. Great stuff. We'll talk to you in a couple of days.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
All right. That is Troy Murray. He and John Weideman on the call tonight out at the UBS Arena in a 2-1 loss to the New York Islanders in a game where the Hawks saw a 1-0 lead early, held on to it often, but then it ends up being two goals by the Islanders in the third period, a power play goal by Bo Horvat, the first penalty of the entire game. It was called on Filip Kurashev 10 seconds into the third period, and the Islanders came through. As Troy mentioned, their power play, 20th in the NHL coming into tonight, but they're able to get it done to even the game. Rather, even the score at one apiece, and then just a very unlucky bounce on a puck that was ringing along the boards to the right of Peter Mrazek, caught just basically the edge of a board that must have been sticking out, and it just poked the puck out a 90-degree turn, and it just sat there when it should have been ringing along the backboards, and it turns into a quality opportunity for the Islanders. Simon Holmstrom just whacks at it, gets it past Peter Mrazek, and that ends up being the game winner, a 2-1 final, losing to the New York Islanders. The Hawks dropped to 22-48-5 on the loss. The Islanders improved to 32-27-15, and a very big 2 points for them because, again, they are now just 1 point behind the Washington Capitals for that second wild card spot, and I believe they have a game in hand with 7 games left on the regular season. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text. We're taking this post-game show up until 10 o'clock tonight, but let's go to the phone lines. It's our buddy Devin in Bayless Hills that's curious about a few UFAs. Go ahead, Devin. Who's on your mind?
Hey, Joe. I'm looking at cap-friendly right now, and there's quite a bit of interesting pending UFAs on the Hawks this year. Tyler Johnson, for example, he's making $5 million. He's up this year. Nikita Zaitsev, he's making $4.5 million. He's up this year. I'm looking at our RFAs as well. Taylor Radish is a guy that interests me. He hasn't scored a goal, I checked today, in 41 consecutive games.
Yeah, December against Seattle.
Yeah. He's someone that interests me because we've seen him score 20 last year. He's 26 and he's making league minimum. Do you see us bringing him back or any of the other free agents that I named, like Zaitsev, Johnson, maybe even Blackwell? He's making 1.2, but his injuries have just sidelined him for so long. Are any of these guys, do you think, coming back?
Yeah, all right, Devin, thank you. I'll try to get to as many as I can because you're right, there are a lot. And yeah, this is kind of the point of conversation now with seven games left in the regular season. You know, the quality of games that the Hawks are playing are up against tougher opponents. So again, this is kind of where the conversation leads to. I don't imagine Tyler Johnson would be back. And again, all of this is just speculation. Who knows what Kyle Davidson is going to do? But Tyler Johnson, you know, a two-time Cup winner, a guy that brings a lot to the table. I can't imagine the Hawks are going to want to sign him for the same type of price tag that they've had him for. Now, remember, he came over in a trade with the Tampa Bay Lightning, actually, for Brent Seabrook's contract. So that was a deal signed by the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's a UFA, so he can kind of explore anywhere. I would probably imagine Tyler Johnson's going to find a new home somewhere. Colin Blackwell is interesting because you're right, he has been marred by injuries lately, but I know he loves it here in Chicago. He was actually pretty thrilled that he wasn't moved at the trade deadline, even though he really worked his way into much more of a responsibility this year dealing with the injuries that he's dealt with. But you're right, it's been a big part of his history lately, so I could imagine that might play a factor in how much money he'd be looking at or be offered to. Let's see who else. Nikita Zaitsev, I can't imagine, again, the price tag on him, because remember, the Hawks got a lot of these guys taking on heavy contracts to help lighten the burden for other teams that are trying to construct a Stanley Cup team, and with the Hawks having their cap flexibility, this is what Kyle Davidson was able to do to his advantage, to the Blackhawks' advantage. So it's one thing to like a player. It's another to like them for as much as they are being paid coming over from another organization. The interesting one, and I know they talked about it on the pregame show of the NBC Sports Chicago coverage, is the guy we were talking about in the pregame show of our own, too, Joey Anderson. Joey Anderson is, well, let me find him here. Oh, he's making $800,000. He's an RFA after this year. Actually, John Scott brought up the idea of signing him for a three-year deal, league minimum. I tell you what, Joey Anderson is, in my eyes, a great guy to stay with this team right now because of the chemistry that he's been creating, but also just provides that work ethic that the Hawks are looking for. Remember, the Hawks are looking for versatile, hardworking, two-way players in their organization from the ground up. And that starts with the drafting and the developing. But another thing that they're looking for, and this is more so on the developing side, is guys that just think quickly. We always talk about playing fast, and Troy always brings it up that just because you're a fast team doesn't mean you skate fast. It means you move the puck fast, and that's what works, and that's what wins in NHL seasons. It's also very important to just think fast, to know what you're going to do with the puck before you have it, and knowing your options. And that's why a lot of these guys that they've been going after, Frank Nazar, even Kevin Korchinski to an extent, Colton Dock, although Colton Dock was the previous regime. Anyway, it's that type of mold, those types of players that the Hawks are going after, and that's why the future is promising for this organization, but there's still going to be a lot of interesting moves to be made. I do think next year is going to be a different situation than this past year. I do think they'll be moving on from the whole rebuild aspect. That's not saying that the Hawks are going to be a cup contender next year, but I think they're going to move past finding value in losses. In other words, putting together a roster that might not be as competitive as the rest of the league for hopeful draft picks, because Kyle Davidson has already done that part of the rebuild. He has accrued a lot of draft picks, and not just for next year. I mean, the Hawks have two first-round picks this year and next season, and they continue to pile up draft picks, or I should say they continued to pile up draft picks over the past couple of years. They've got, just next year alone, they've got two first-round picks, three second-round picks, two third-round picks, and a sixth-round pick. It just kind of seems more quality than quantity once you get to the later stages. So, again, Kyle Davidson has done a really strategic job of setting up the success of the draft for the next couple of years for this organization, because, again, two first-round picks over the next 2 years, at least two second-round picks over the next 2 years, and then they've got two fourth-round picks in 2 years. I mean, you can look at cap-friendly, you can understand it a little bit easier, but that's what we're getting at for that situation. It is going to be a different offseason for the Hawks, I can tell you that, because this team will be in a different state by next year. In terms of this game, liked the Hawks' start, but it obviously still wasn't good enough, even though they got off to a 1-0 lead. But it's nice to see them gain a lead, pick up a goal somehow, some way, and it, of course, is that top line. Jason Dickinson's 21st goal of the season, Connor Bedard's 58th point of the season, Bedard just being named the Rookie of the Month. And even if they don't play their best in the first 20 minutes, they find a way to get out of that first period with a lead. A lot of that was Peter Mrazek, especially in the second period as well, but you had a feeling the New York Islanders were going to come through with a strong push in the third period. Now, the Hawks kind of helped the Islanders' chances in that regard with the penalty, two penalties, I should say, even though the Islanders only capitalized on one, and then they unfortunately catch an unlucky break with the crazy bounce in the corner. This one goes to the Islanders. It helps their playoff chances, and the Hawks fall on this road trip now, 1-2-0, before they head home for two games at the United Center this upcoming weekend. We've got a lot to get to. It looks like we do have some sound from the Blackhawks dressing room and their head coach, Luke Richardson, as we recap this 2-1 loss to the New York Islanders. Again, 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text. Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN.
Noah Dobson along the left boards, coughed up the puck. Kurashev swats it away to Dickinson. Lead pass off the boards, Bedard in a 2-on-1 break over the line to Dickinson in front. He shoots, he scores! Jason Dickinson off of a brilliant feed from Connor Bedard that originated from the right wing corner. Dickinson in front of the net, pounds it in behind Sorokin, and the Hawks take a 1-0 lead, 12-11 left in period number one.
That was unfortunately the only goal the Hawks would score tonight. Jason Dickinson's 21st of the season, a career-high 21 goals for Jason Dickinson this year. Every goal that he scores this season will end up being a new career-high. But Connor Bedard is 58th point of the season, picking up his 37th assist, as the Hawks would cough up two goals to the New York Islanders later on in the third period. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're recapping a 2-1 loss to the New York Islanders. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join us. You can call or you could text. We'll take your thoughts, no matter what they are. Well, maybe. But a rough loss for the Hawks over at the Island as they suffer their second loss on this road trip, now dropping to 1-2-0. Our player with the most heart is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine is home to the state's leading heart and vascular program, top-ranked for 16 straight years by U.S. News and World Report. Troy gave Peter Mrazek the player of the game, and rightly so. He had the best performance by the Hawks tonight, keeping them in it for pretty much the entire contest. He ended up stopping 27 shots on goal from the New York Islanders. The first one coming in on a power play opportunity. Again, the penalty by Filip Kurashev in the first 10 seconds of the third period. But other than that, Mrazek did a fantastic job of keeping the Hawks in it. He stopped the first 26 shots of the game. Yeah, I mean, he had 26 saves in the first 40 minutes. So the Islanders only picked up three more shots on goal in that third period. Wow. And another note that I saw scouring on Twitter, the Hawks didn't have a shot on goal in the final 7 minutes of the game. They did pull Mrazek towards the end, but were never able to get a shot off. So obviously, the Hawks having some struggles of their own, generating some offense as their lone goal came in the first period, and that was it offensively for the Hawks. But again, Connor Bedard was named Rookie of the Month for the third time this year. Prior to tonight's game, he picks up his 58th point of the season, his 37th assist of the year. Let's hear from the 18-year-old rookie, Connor Bedard.
That was okay. I mean, they outplayed us, and I think they deserved to win, but overall, I didn't think we were terrible. We had some chances, but not really enough high-quality chances, I'd say.
What would you see on the goal you guys scored?
Nice play, Kershey Dickey, and I had it. You know, I wanted to pass it, and nice play by Dickey to get it up.
You try one of those sharp-angle shots in the middle of the game sometime, and it seems like you've tried a few of those. You feel like one of them is probably due to go in at some point, catch a goalie sleeping?
We'll see. I mean, you know, I think, last couple games probably tried one, but you know, I feel like you see it more and more, and, you know, it's got to be the right time. But, you know, I thought today was the closest one, and you know, I'd love for one to go in anyway, so, yeah.
The familiarity between the three of you, does it feel like there's some chemistry growing?
Yeah, I thought we were better tonight than definitely the first game. I thought we were pretty decent against Philly, but, you know, I think the more you play with people, the more you figure out their game, and the better it gets, so we hope to kind of continue that.
Peter kind of kept you guys in it early on, another sort of tough start. It seemed like he's kind of done that all year.
Yeah. I mean, he's been unreal. He's been our MVP, and, you know, I think when he's on his game, he's pretty tough to beat, so, you know, we're lucky to have him.
I don't know, kind of the reaction you'd expect from Connor Bedard after that game. This wasn't the most devastating loss. Frankly, it was kind of a boring game, but the Hawks did a good job of slowing down the Islanders' offense just enough to where Peter Mrazek was able to stay locked in. Again, 26 saves in the first two periods, but it's not like he was moving around with his head on a swivel making scrambling save after scrambling save. And I feel like you kind of heard that in Connor Bedard's reaction because, listen, we've seen this team have very rough losses, and you can totally tell it wears on the players. I don't think tonight was that. They knew the Islanders, on paper, are the better team. They know the Islanders are fighting for a playoff spot, and like Connor Bedard said, they outplayed them and deserved to win, but the Hawks found a way, found a chance to make it competitive, at least, well, yeah, competitive for the entire game, but just didn't have it enough on it to create a full comeback. I am really curious to see how long Luke Richardson will keep Jason Dickinson on this line, though. I've been a big fan of it. I've honestly been wanting to see it for some time because you saw how productive it was with Nick Foligno with Bedard and Kurashev, but Dickinson just having a career year and all the confidence that he's riding right now, especially now over the past two games where Luke has swapped Bedard and Dickinson at wing and center. I think you saw it on full display tonight on the only goal where Dickinson plays it off the far boards, passing it to Connor Bedard, and they kind of just swerve into each other's positions, and it just looks so fluid, so natural. They were both on the same page. You do have to give credit to Philip Kurashev, too, for a good defensive play that helped start it, and he also picked up an assist on it as well. But I'm really interested to see if maybe they can close out the year with this same line. Because, of course, it's not going to be like only Luke Richardson's decision whether or not this top line remains for the rest of the year. It's going to be probably a factor of him and them and their production, like we've seen with any line. Anytime something kind of doesn't look right or the Hawks are just struggling offensively, Luke will mix up the line. So I think it'd be a huge win if they could stay on this same line together for a good amount of time towards the end of this regular season. That might be fun to watch and, you know, might help kind of picture what they're looking at for next year. Obviously, Taylor Hall should be back in the mix next season. He was originally brought in to kind of mentor Connor Bedard. I imagine that's what they expect the Hawks to look like at the beginning of next season, but who knows? exactly where Jason Dickinson is playing his role into next season because of all the success that he's had this year. Speaking of Philip Kurashev, who had that secondary assist on the lone Hawks goal, he chatted with the media as well. Let's hear from number 23.
Yeah, I think, obviously tough way to lose like that, to lead like that. I think we played solid, but then of course they have a really good power play and they made us pay on that probably dumb play for me.
Was that difficult just to, I guess, to start the period that way too, where they get the goal and kind of maybe get some on the momentum back?
Yeah, definitely. It's just hard. There wasn't any calls before that, and then to start the period they get one, and they made a nice play and they scored.
It seemed like your line was able to generate a good amount of offense, but as a team maybe not as much as you'd like.
Yeah, I think it was just more, it was like a game like that. I think I don't think it was many, many opportunities. So we tried to do the best and tried to, force a mistake from them and then bury it. But obviously it wasn't enough today.
What do you see on the goal you guys scored?
Yeah, Betsy just made a really nice pass and Dickie buried. So it was a nice play overall.
Philip Kurashev, after this 2-1 loss to the New York Islanders, the Hawks and the season series against the Islanders 1-1. If you remember, it was a 4-3 overtime winner against the Islanders back on January 19th. But that will conclude the season series. 7 games left on the regular season. The Hawks with 4 home games, 3 road games, including a couple of weekend day games coming up at the United Center on Saturday and Sunday. They host the Dallas Stars on Saturday, and then the best day ever on Sunday, hosting the Minnesota Wild, the final 2 home games against Nashville and Carolina. But a lot of tough opponents for the Hawks coming up. I mean, Dallas with cup aspirations. Minnesota probably out of the playoff race, but they might still mathematically be alive by the time Sunday rolls around. St. Louis kind of in that same boat. Nashville, weirdly enough, on a 2-game losing skid after their 16-game point streak. But they're continuing their playoff hopes as well, still leading the top wild card spot in the Western Conference. And then it's Carolina, Vegas, L.A., and I keep pointing it out that those last 2 games of the regular season in Vegas and in L.A. might have huge implications for those teams for the postseason. It seems like Vegas and L.A. just kind of swap spots every game, although the Knights now 3 points ahead of the Kings for that 3rd spot in the Pacific Division. But either way, penultimate game of the regular season and last game of the regular season, the Hawks could definitely have an opportunity to play spoiler a lot like they did with the Pittsburgh Penguins last year. Hawks fall to the Islanders 2-1. If you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. But right now, we got to get to a break. We'll hear from the head coach, Luke Richardson, on the other end of it. Hawks fall to the Islanders 2-1. This is the Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN.
Riley near the left point. Skates it down to the corner. Sent the puck in behind the Hawk net. Anders Lee put it out in front. Point blank shot by Clutterbuck. It's turned out of there by Mrazek with a pad save.
One of 27 saves by Pina Mrazek tonight in the Hawks' 2-1 loss to the New York Islanders. That one, our save of the game, though, sponsored by ComEd for Business. ComEd, powering business, powering lives. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 10 o'clock tonight here on 720 WGN Radio. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text as we recap this road trip finale. We heard from Connor Bedard. We heard from Philip Kurashev. Now we'll hear from the head coach, Luke Richardson.
Well, I thought we got the start we wanted, and we played fairly solid. I would like to see us get a little more drive to that net, more shots to the net tonight. But when we did, they were pretty effective. And fortunately, they got a bounce on that second goal and was hopping around. And we didn't get it at the end of time.
On that power play goal, are they collapsing too far?
I think the D were a little bit late pressuring in the corner, but they got there, and I think Radish has got to hold more center field there. And let the guy walk and have a jam. But unfortunately, the forwards aren't in that position as much as the defensemen to play that right. So. A guy made a great pass to sauce it over Peter's stick right on the tape, but Peter still got a piece of it. But unfortunately, that was the difference. They scored in their power play, and we didn't.
seemed like the Dickinson line had some good chances, but the other three lines weren't really able to get a lot of possession.
Yeah, not a lot. I didn't think we had a lot going through. I thought we had some good ozone time at times, but it was on the outside. We couldn't get it to the inside to get that shot, or not enough of them anyways. But, yeah, no, I thought, those three were really good again, and obviously scored a really nice goal. Starting in our D zone all the way through the neutral zone, and a good finish by Connor and Dickey at the end.
Rozic tied a career high with his 49th start, and looked kind of the same as his first 48 in terms of keeping you guys in it.
Yeah, no, he was solid. I thought they had the more of the better chances the first half of the game, and he was big there. So we got to get more pucks to the other net, and I thought. There was some odd bounces around Sorokin tonight. We just couldn't get them and finish them off.
I know we've seen a lot now this year, but that assist from Bedard, just the timing of it, what goes into it?
That's just his talent. It's nothing that we help him work on in practice. That's just him completing a play that works within our system, him slashing across, getting pucks, and then that's what he's able to do. It was great by Dickinson driving that back post. It was good timing, and Connor laid it in there perfect.
Luke Richardson after the 2-1 loss to the New York Islanders, just a quick quote. Also, big thanks to Ben Pope at the Chicago Sun-Times for providing us with that audio. Islanders head coach Patrick Waugh, it was a beautiful performance by our team today. And, we did this with the Philly game, and I'm not going to pull out tweets from the Islanders fans like I was doing with the Flyers fans the other day, but it was kind of funny to see the roller coaster of emotions. But I get it. If you're a fan rooting for your team that's on the edge of possibly making the playoffs and not able to overcome a 1-0 deficit against the team that's currently 31st in the NHL standings, I can understand why the frustration is there. But this was a better game played by the Islanders for pretty much in its entirety. Again, the Hawks were lucky to get out of the first two periods still ahead 1-0, being outshot 26-14. They were lucky to be out of the first period up 1-0, but that just continues to show how good Peter Mrazek is this year. A few things that Richardson was talking about. I thought the PK by the Hawks was initially good, but then a little bit of a broken play that led to Bo Horvat tying the game up at one. And it was Barzal, whatever he's being called these days, with the assist. Great read by him. Great just muscling effort by him in behind the net and feeding Horvat to tie up the game 1-1. And honestly, once that happened, you kind of just felt like, all right, the Islanders have had all these chances all game long. They finally find the back of the net, whether or not it's a power play goal. Now they have an opportunity to really take a stronger hold of it. Now, granted, it was a lucky bounce that helped them out take the 2-1 lead, but sometimes those things go your way when you do outplay the opponent, which I do feel, and it sounds like Luke Richardson and Connor Bedard both feel the Islanders did over the Hawks. And on the power play, too, there was an instance where Connor Bedard fed Philip Kurashev for one of those big one-timers that we've been seeing Kurashev really nail over the past couple of months now on the man advantage, and he didn't quite get all of it. I don't think his stick broke. I think he just didn't fully make contact with the puck. I mean, who knows? If he connects on that one and that one goes in the back of the net, who knows what we're talking about at the end of this one. But it does end up being a 2-1 victory for the New York Islanders over the Hawks as the Hawks finish their road trip 1-2-0. We're going to take our last break here on the FanDuel Sportsbook Chicago Blackhawks postgame show. But when we come back, we'll take a look around the league. 8 games going on throughout the league tonight. A lot of playoff implications on the line for tonight, and the Hawks are off until Saturday, so we'll try to get you set up for the rest of the week as you're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show. Join us, 312-981-7200, here on 720 WGN.
Slot Ben, left wing side, now upstairs. Hayes going to Robertson, Ben. Robertson again, delays. Ben in front, back door, they score! Roope Hintz got it on the doorstep. I believe Jamie Benn would get a second assist for his 900th career point here in Vancouver.
That is Josh Bogorod of Bally Sports Southwest, and that is our next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks off until Saturday. They're back home at the United Center Saturday and Sunday, day home games at the UC. Dallas coming to town. That's a 2:30 puck drop. Remember, they moved that up an hour. And then Sunday on the best day ever against the Minnesota Wild, also at 2:30. The Dallas Stars are hot right now. A 7-game winning streak. Separately, they've got a 7-game winning streak on the road. They're off tonight. Tomorrow, they host the Edmonton Oilers. And then on Saturday, they visit the Hawks, trying to keep their road winning streak alive. Possibly will come to town with an 8-game winning streak. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're wrapping things up after a 2-1 loss to the New York Islanders. We do have some entertaining sound from Nick Foligno back in his Columbus Blue Jackets days. But first, want to take a look around the NHL again. 8 games throughout the league tonight. Whole bunch of playoff implications on the line. So let's just start in Buffalo.
Darlene, awfully talented offensively, to puck far wing to Benson in front, and just over the stick of Tocton, Paterka picks it up and puts it in over a fallen Charlie Lindgren with 3:10 to go in the first period. Buffalo takes a lead. It's 2-1.
John Walton of the Capitals Radio Network. Buffalo had a 3-2 lead into the third period, but then they scored 3 goals in that third period. 6-2 victory against Washington, and that win is huge for the New York Islanders because Washington was 3 points ahead of the Islanders heading into tonight's game. That means the Islanders now just 1 point shy of the Capitals for that second wild card spot. Also, Jeff Skinner's 1,000th game for the Sabres, or in his career, playing for the Sabres tonight in that contest. Let's go to Montreal.
Now Slavkovsky rips it off right side to Newhook. Back up top, Matheson, shot, scores! And it's tipped! Suzuki in front. He's got 2 in the second period, and Montreal, the power play, take the 3-2 lead.
Talk about salvaging a power play.
2 goals for Suzuki in that game. A 5-3 comeback victory for the Montreal Canadiens. They avoid the season series sweep against the Florida Panthers. That one, Victor Finlay of TSN 690 AM, as the Canadiens take down the Panthers 5-3. Let's go to Jersey.
Bunting will get chased with under 4 minutes to go. It's wrapped around. Pettersson keeps it alive. He'll shoot. Scores! They score! Ricard Raquel with the redirect! And the Penguins have come all the way back and taken the lead late in New Jersey.
Josh Getzlaf of Sportsnet Pittsburgh. 5 straight unanswered goals by the Pittsburgh Penguins. They best the New Jersey Devils 6-3. Sidney Crosby with 2 goals in that game. One of them an empty netter, but he picks up his 38th and 39th of the season. How about this? 18 years ago, Sidney Crosby, his rookie year, had 39 goals. 18 years later, he has 39 once again. What a career for Sid the Kid. Let's go to Minnesota.
By Brännström. Brännström goes to the ice. Lettieri scores!
That is Anthony LaPanta of Bally Sports as the Minnesota Wild snap Ottawa's 5-game winning streak, a 3-2 victory for the Wild, who are just clinging on to their playoff hopes. Again, they will be at the United Center on Sunday over the weekend when the Hawks will host them after hosting Dallas. Our last highlight comes from Nashville.
Puck thrown in deep. Omar cut it off. He'll drill it off the glass, and down it goes. Marchand's got it at center ice. He's with Coyle. Into the slot. Coyle short-handed. Walks in, shoots. He scores! Charlie Coyle! Top shelf! Short-handed! 1-0 Bruins!
That's our guy Judd Surratt, 98.5, the Sports Hub, as the Bruins blank the Predators 3-0. Nashville has now lost their last 3 games after seeing their 16-game point streak come to an end. The Predators still in a playoff spot, but definitely not playing to the way that they were playing earlier on in this season. 2 other games going on right now. The Anaheim Ducks currently on a 4-game losing skid. They're tied with the Calgary Flames 2-2 through 2 periods up in Canada. And the Vegas Golden Knights with a 4-1 lead after just the first period against the Vancouver Canucks. Looks like the Knights will have a power play to begin the second period as well. Vegas 10 points away from Vancouver, who leads the Pacific Division. But again, the Vegas Golden Knights fighting for their playoff lives as well. If you follow 1929 Hockey on Instagram, it's a really good follow. It's not just the X's and O's. It's a lot of evergreen, entertaining stuff like this that we stumbled upon earlier today. It features current Blackhawk Nick Foligno back in his playing days with the Columbus Blue Jackets, though, when he was the captain, and they called him in to play a prank on Cam Atkinson, who thought he was calling season ticket holders. Instead, he's calling Nick Foligno, but again, he thinks he's a season ticket holder, and Nick Foligno and his witty self that we all know had a lot of fun with it. And Cam Atkinson, listen to this.
This is Cam Atkinson with the Columbus Blue Jackets. How are you doing?
Who?
Cam Atkinson with the Blue Jackets. Number
no
13.
Way.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hi, me. I got a Blue Jacket on the phone. Come on.
Yeah, man. How you doing?
Good. I'm good. What's going on?
I just wanted to call and wonder why you haven't renewed your season tickets for next season.
Well, I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence.
You're
you know what?
Fence.
I don't find we're taken care of enough where we get to see the players. I want to come down. I want to meet you. I want to see you more.
I'll come meet you, man. I'll come meet you anytime you want.
You think I could come in the locker room after a game?
We might be able to do something like that for sure.
Because I got kids, you know. I want to bring them down. You're the small guy, right?
Yeah, I'm the small guy.
Yeah. I like you. I like you. You're a good player.
Thank
good
you.
Player.
Appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome.
I'm the guy that buzzes around and tries to score goals. And
yeah, you're the goal scorer.
Yeah.
Yeah, your captain was this year.
Yeah, I can't say that out loud right now, but that's pretty funny.
Well, I like you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, I hope you renew your season tickets, man. It's we're gonna have a good year next year. And
well, what do you mean? Like, what are you gonna do for me? You gonna promise? You gonna meet me or what?
Yeah, I'll definitely meet you. We'll set something up where I meet you after a game or something. That's easy. We'll meet your kids.
Okay, I wanna meet you.
Yeah.
Fellow Paisan Foligno.
Yeah.
Tortellini.
Tortellini. You wanna meet Tortellini?
Tortorella. Sorry,
okay.
Tortorella. And Bobrovsky, because I want to see him and Foligno hug.
Okay, all right, man. We could set something up. As soon as you renew, I'll have the rep call you, and we'll take care of that, and that's easy.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, buddy.
Thanks so much for the call.
All right, man. Yeah.
All right, thanks a lot, Cam. I appreciate you talking to me on the phone today.
Yeah, no worries. Do you want the rep?
No, honestly, God, it's your Captain Nick, and I really appreciated that. Thank you very much.
Oh, holy!
Like Tony Mazza,
dude. I was. You go. Where are you?
Oh my God!
I hear your stupid little voice.
Loved it. Oh man, hang in there. It'll get better.
Not only was that clip edited on Instagram, we carved out a couple more bleeps because they were having a lot of fun with it towards the end. But you know, Nick Foligno, just such an easygoing, lighthearted guy that totally translates inside the locker room. Apparently it does with his pranks as well. Again, that courtesy of 1929 Hockey on Instagram. They got it from the Columbus Blue Jackets social media, as that was a prank pulled by Nick Foligno on Cam Atkinson back when they were both playing for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Just good stuff, and it helps us fill out our time here on the Blackhawks Post Game Show, because that's all the time we have.